The theme for tonight is, If the Lord Wills, taken from verse 15. Let us look to God in prayer before we continue. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, quieten our hearts, O God, as we approach thy throne of grace and mercies. For we know that whenever we read thy holy word, it is the very voice of the Most High that we are hearing. The Lord speaks once, we must listen twice. Cleanse us and wash us, O God, of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the powerful word of everlasting life take root and bear much fruit in the hearts of all whom we have gathered here tonight to study thy holy word. We pray, O God, once again for thy Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to instruct us, that we may once more behold wonderful truths out of thy holy word, that our souls may be blessed and be touched, and our lives may conform more and more to the image of thy only begotten Son. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O God. May thou hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen. If the Lord wills. Let me read to you the three verses, James chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. We live in a very fast-paced world, a world where very often we act first, sometimes even before we start to think and ponder whether we should have delayed what we have just completed, or perhaps we should have stayed at home instead of being found in a strange city, doing this or doing that. And sometimes, because of such haste, we put ourselves into a very difficult and adverse situation. And if only we had waited, if only we had prayed and asked the Lord, things would have been very different. Sadly, some of these poor decisions that we have made without consultation with our Heavenly Father have resulted in life-changing experiences, and these life-changing experiences continue to haunt us even till today. And then we will keep on crying to the Lord and say, if only we had prayed, if only we had waited, if only I had not found myself in this city, if only I had not found myself in this situation, or made this decision, or say yes to this person, if only. Loss of life savings, loss of life, loss of a few years, loss of our holy witness. This is the focus for tonight. Why would God's people, God's children in particular, step forward in any direction their heart desires without first asking the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present Heavenly Father? He is the greatest help. He knows our future. He knows the beginning and the end of all our life. And therefore, to consult him and to ask him before we act would be the obvious thing that we should do, we must do. Common sense would tell us that. Why would we want to take matters into our own hands when our sight is so myopic? We can't even see beyond the next minute, the next second. But our Heavenly Father can see beyond into eternity. And he says to us, come to me. ask whatever in the name of my only begotten Son, and it will be granted unto you. So why is it so hard for us to ask Him? Well, because we are not very conscious of His presence. And that is why seldom do we say, if the Lord wills. Very often, we may even say it just as a matter of exclamation without proper understanding. And so sometimes a lot of people will utter the word, the phrase, God willing, God willing, God willing. But is it really God willing? What we see here in verse 13 is ignoring God's will. Who are the people who ignore God's will? Because this person says, go to now, ye that say. But the Lord is saying to this person, come, take another look at your life. But what is your life? Well, you like to say, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go to this city, and then I'm going to remain in this city for a year or two or whatever period of time. And then while I'm in that city for that period of time, I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to make a profit. I'm going to get gain. But the Lord says, hold on. Stop whatever you're doing. And will you listen to me? Ignoring God's call. Not that they do not know God. Not we are talking about God's children. God is referring to the Jews who were in diaspora, scattered. And so the knowledge of God, the presence of God, is not something that they were not aware of. They were very much aware of. And so they were ignoring God's will. Not that they were ignorant of God's will. Big difference. Know it. But they do not care for it. They just simply make their own plans and do their own thing. Now, who are these individuals? Well, you might call them carnal ones. That's one group, is it not? You look at the content of verse 13. The carnal ones, all they can think about is how to make a profit. All they care about when they make plans to go to this city is to make more money, is to buy and sell and to make a profit. So is that not a description of a carnal person? A person who calls himself a Christian, but his heart and mind is occupied by making an extra dollar, the next dollar. That is his consuming focus, obsession. And that is why he will ignore God's will, because he has no time at all for God. God is not in his picture because he has replaced God with gold, mammon, not his heavenly Father. He replaced him. Well, he says he has salvation. He says that he's born again. He says that he has tasted the salvific work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart, but his mind says otherwise. His thinking says otherwise. His own words says otherwise. His behavior and conduct says otherwise because he's in another city. He doesn't care whether that city has a church that can help him grow spiritually. He doesn't care whether leaving his family behind for one long full year is going to impact the children's spiritual well-being or his wife's spiritual well-being. All he cares about is making that extra dollar. And so to him, it is worth it. It is worth the sacrifice. Is that not a carnal person who will ignore God's will? And so to such a one, if the Lord will, is something that is alien to him. It doesn't even register. He doesn't even ponder or consider such a endeavor. He'll just simply go head on. And maybe if he were to become a bankrupt, he will lose everything. Then perhaps he may crawl back to the Lord and plead to the Lord for mercy. But until that day comes, and if he's successful in getting gain, all the more he will push the Lord farther and farther away from his life. And so who are the ones who ignore God's will? The carnal ones. And then perhaps you may also say, the ignorant ones. Well, not ignorant concerning the existence of God, but ignorant concerning all the rest of the scripture. He doesn't study the Bible. See, when you do not study the Bible, why? Because he studied all the business books. He studied all the books pertaining to his profession. He will spare no effort to make sure that he will get all the necessary paper qualification. He will spend big bucks. He will spend money to make money. He will reason. And then he will sacrifice relationships, sacrifice spiritual service just to get that extra paper qualification that will advance his business endeavors. And so we all know everyone has only 24 hours a day. And if he spend most of his time pursuing how to make more money, go to a city is one thing. Going to a city is the beginning. To actually buy, you need to know how to buy, what kind of things to buy and buy at what rate and what are the things that you can sell after you buy them. You don't want to buy certain things that nobody is going to buy from you after that, because you need to sell them to make money. And so you buy at a lower cost, then you sell at a higher cost so that you can make a larger profit. And that's all that matters. And in our fast-paced world, that person is part of the very, very fast rat race. And he will dive into it and he will make sure that he will do whatever it takes to be the fastest rat in the rat race. So, who is another one who will ignore God's will? The ignorant ones. Another kind of ignorance. The ignorance regarding the rest of Scripture. He may know very basic. He may know about the milk doctrine, such as the basic gospel. But beyond that, he is completely ignorant because he has no time. No time to study. And his attendance in church is only as and when he's in town. He doesn't care whether that city that has been posted to, that he endeavors to go into and make money, whether there is a church, whether there is any other avenues where he can worship the Lord and grow in the Lord. All these things are not part of his priority when he goes to this city or that city. The priority is to make that extra dollar. And so he is therefore ignoring God's will because he is ignorant. Ignorant because he doesn't know anything beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't study God's word. He doesn't care for God's word. What are the kinds of individual? Now, these are all professing believers. These are all professing believers where salvation, Christianity to them is all more words than heart. Religion to them is more like an appendix rather than their life's blood. They may also be called a whitewashed sepulcher because they like to look good on the outside before God and also before man, only good looking on the outside. Another kind of person who will also ignore God's will would be the confident ones. See, this person is so confident today or tomorrow. He is so confident about himself that he will be around today or tomorrow. See, I'm alive today. I will be alive tomorrow. So today he will plan so that tomorrow he will know where he is going. Very confident, confident ones. So you have the carnal ones who will ignore God's will. You have the ignorant ones who will also ignore God's will. And then you have the confident ones who will also ignore God's will because he's full of himself. He is very confident that when he arrives in the city, 1 year is all I'm going to need. And I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to get gain. Make a profit. That's it, his goal. He is very sure of himself. He has done all his study. He has all his charts and all his evaluation. This is the best city to buy this kind of product and to sell this kind of product. I buy from another city. I bring to this city. And then I'm going to sell this and I'm going to market this. And this will be my budget. And this is what kind of profit I'm going to get. And by the end of the year, I will have this sizable amount of gain. Very confident in himself. Very successful. Very capable. A self-made man. Very well educated, full of successful experience after another experience. And he is probably headhunted by so many companies because he is so capable. He has an amazing reputation in his field among all the companies that he deals with. So who are the ones who ignore God's will as described in verse 13, where the Lord is now saying to you, go to now, come, come now, give me your attention. And so tonight, if you are part of the confident ones, full of yourself, all the carnal ones, all you think about is material things, all the ignorant ones, hardly do you read or study or know any portion of God's word beyond the gospel. But the Lord is speaking to you tonight. You have wasted enough of your life and your energy in the pursuit of vanity. And if you are truly a child of God, if you are truly born again, and you are more than just a professing believer, will you stop what you are doing? Will you stand still and stop making further plans and listen to the voice of your loving Heavenly Father who is appealing to you? You have been experiencing His mercies and His grace all this while, in spite of your rebellion, in spite of your ignoring His will in your life. Since the day you were born again, how much of that life that you profess as a Christian has really, really been lived for Christ? Would you honestly evaluate that before the Lord and answer Him with a proper, genuine, sincere answer? How much? ¿10%? Should it not bring much shame and pain to our heart and to our soul if it is anything less than 90%? The Lord gave His all to die for you, so you claim. The Lord suffered the pain and the shame and the crucifixion for you, so you have confessed. And He rose from the dead that you might stand before God Almighty with the garment of Christ's blood and righteousness on you, so that when the Heavenly Father looks at you, He sees Christ and no longer you. That is what your profession of a believer, of a Christian, is meant to be in the eyes of God. And that's why, if it is not 10% at least, since the day you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, as you have professed, 90% of your life should be lived for Christ. And that means, if the Lord wills. Isn't that true? Because if it had always been so far, my will, my will, my will, after I graduated, to work in this company, my will to work in this company, and within 10 years, I should now climb the corporate ladder to this position in this company. It is my will, my ambition, my plan, my approach, my strategy. Whereas, if the Lord will. And if you come and you listen, then the first thing you have to do is to recognize and accept God's will. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Why must you accept and recognize God's will? Well, first and foremost, the Lord says, whereas you know not. This word know is not the common know. It's not about cognitive. It's not about experiential. It's a very unusual word. It means put your mind upon something. That means let this thought that I'm sharing with you enter into your head. That's why the Lord is now urging you, pleading with you, come, stop what you are doing, come and listen. Put this thought into your mind. That's what it means by this phrase, whereas you know. Would you do that? Would you put this thought into your mind? What thought? Well, whereas you know not, you do not know what shall be on the morrow. You do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. What if tomorrow is the day when the Lord Jesus returns? What if tomorrow is the day the world ends? You know that so many people on the 31st of December 2019, when they had the countdown into 2020, January 1st, all over the world, there were photographs of celebration, fireworks, great joy, great celebration that they all survived 2019, and now they are all starting into 2020. And I'm sure everyone have their own hopes and dreams for 2020. Nobody would even guess or fathom that there will be this virus that will plague and decimate the world's economy the way that it has. No one knew, but the Lord did. Long before even this world was created. We don't. In other words, the Lord says, put into your mind this thought. What thought? Your limitation. Your limitation, my limitation, our finiteness, our myopic thinking and eyesight. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You do not know that tonight when you go to sleep, you might not even wake up. And the way that you're living right now is not right with your Heavenly Father. Do you not know it? Would you want to make right with your Heavenly Father at least right now for the rest of your life if tomorrow is going to be your last morning? Or tonight is going to be your final night on earth? That when you lay down to sleep, you are just like that person laying down into your coffin. Would you make right with the Lord? Would you put this thought into your mind to at least admit your own limitation, that you don't even know what happened tomorrow? For what is your life? What is your life? Think about your life. You think your life has some kind of a guarantee that you're going to live for the next few decades? The 70 years has been stamped on your birth cert. Someone has given you that wonderful, wonderful guarantee that this baby born on this particular day is guaranteed to live at least 70 long years or more. And then when you read about all the statistics in first world countries, in Singapore, the average age of the lifespan of a man is 70 plus, for a woman is 70 plus, and a woman is longer than man, and so on. And you think that that average statistic is going to include you? Guarantee? By whom? By whom? Where do you get this notion? Where do you get this guarantee from? Somewhere out there, we just simply do not think about the brevity of life. And the moment we do, then straight away, there are so many important things that we must deal with first. And making money, doing business, and buying and selling and getting gain is definitely not one of them. And this COVID-19 pandemic is a wake-up call, if that had been your thinking. Do you remember what happened in the end of March and early April? When we were all in the lockdown, right at the very onset. Have you forgotten those photographs or videos of a ghost town that describes Singapore? The roads were empty. The shopping centers were empty. Everything was empty. People were all told, stay at home. Go out only for basic necessities. And if you really need to exercise, that's it. But other than that, no office will open. Everyone tried to work from home. And everyone was running here and there to set up whatever system that they could in order to work from home. But during the first few weeks of panic buying, people were frightened. People do not know what will happen the next day or the next week or the next month. And so they think that if I were to buy and stock up this or that, I will be okay. But what about your neighbors? I don't care about my neighbors. The brevity of life, because of this COVID-19, everything else took a back seat. Just to survive became top priority suddenly. That's what God wants us to think about, the brevity of life. But not just to do whatever you need to keep your physical life, because you know the futility of trying to keep this body alive. This body is never meant to live forever. This body is designed to decay. The moment we are born, it begins to decay. Even as we grow and mature, it begins to decay. And no matter how careful you are, how much vitamins you pump into your body, what kind of diet you want to take, it's going to decay. It's not going to last forever. And that is why when the Lord tells us in verse 14 to recognize and accept God's will, the first thing you must do is, how do I face Him? What will He say to me? How will He evaluate my life? That's what you must think about. As the Lord tells you, come, stop what you're doing and put this thought into your mind, the brevity of your life. It is even like a vapor, the Lord says, that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Because in Palestine, very often they will have early morning dew. And that's the vapor. And by noontime, the sky will be bright and clear as if the dew never existed. Early in the morning, you can't even see beyond more than 10 feet. You usually do not dare to drive. You just wait. And then with time, a few hours, you see the fog, the mist, the vapor slowly evaporates. The heat of the sun will come up, and little by little, it just simply disappears, as if it never existed. That's how the Lord wants you and me to think about our life. For whatever you do for the Lord will be remembered and last for eternity. Why? How so? Because the Lord lives and never dies until eternity. And therefore, whatever you do for the Lord, as long as the Lord is alive, lasts for eternity. Whatever you do for yourself will end when you die. Whatever you do for the world will end when the world ends. And this world is reserved for destruction by fire. All your monuments and all your concrete works and whatever you think that will last for generations to come, all your foundations, they're all temporary. And everything that is done for man, when that man dies, it's over. You did it for your family. When your family is gone, it's over. But whatever you do for the Lord, as long as the Lord is alive, it will remain. And so the Lord says, when it is time for one of my servants to come home, his works will follow him. Follow him to where? To his home. Where is his home? In heaven, where the Heavenly Father is. Whatever that you do here for the Lord on earth will follow you all the way to heaven. And the Lord will not only bring you, it will bring with you all your works that you have done for the Lord. And that's why you have to stop ignoring God's will. Turn your face away from the world and turn your face and look up to the Lord, and in your own heart, humble yourself and begin to acknowledge, I accept God's will for my life. Because my life is short and we have wasted enough of our life here on earth in the pursuit of vanity. If verse 13 describe you, full of self-confidence, full of carnality, full of ignorance because you don't spend time studying God's word, and you just have been doing your own thing since the day that you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. Those years are gone for good. Even after you truly, sincerely repent tonight, there is no time machine that will send you back and start all over again. All you can do right now is to spend whatever time you have left, which is in God's hand and God's hand alone, serving the Lord, praising the Lord, and say in all sincerity and from your heart, if the Lord will. And it begins with accepting God's will. Now that you have accepted God's will, you are no longer going to ignore God's will. Then it brings us to verse 15. Accepting God's will is not enough. You must now submit to God's will. Let the will of God control your life. No longer must you control your life and ask God to just simply be your stamp. Your mind is already made up. All you want from God is just a stamp of approval. Don't question me, Lord. Just give me the stamp of approval. Who do we think the Lord is? For that ye ought to say. So now, not only must you begin to accept, you must now begin to submit. And so you have to say from your heart, acknowledge, say it first. If the Lord will. That means if the Lord is willing in allowing me to do certain things today. If it is the Lord who will permit me to go to this city, it must be a city whereby my spiritual well-being must not suffer or compromise. And if I were to be there for this period of time, my family at home must never, never be diminished in the spiritual well-being. And if I stay too far away too long, I have to make sure that I do not go. Because whatever it is, all areas of my life must glorify the Lord. I cannot just simply be a very good witness in my workplace, but a terrible failure at home to my wife and to my children. That would still make me a failure as a believer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that I know is never God's will. Because the will of the Lord is do all things, even as basic as eating and drinking, do them as unto the Lord, to the glory of God. And therefore, all areas of your life, without exception, whatever the areas are, sometimes some areas will be removed. New areas may be added on. It depends. When you become a grandparent, that is added on. Before that, you were not a grandparent, so you do not have a responsibility on how to be a godly grandparent. When you retire from your work, your testimony and your witness in your workplace is over. That area is closed for good. All areas must come under this phrase, if the Lord will. Because if that is your thinking, you will do it faithfully unto the Lord, to His glory. That's why you must submit to the Lord's will. And if it's not God's will for you to go to that place, even if it means don't make that much money, don't make that amount of money, it's okay. Because as a child of God, you know the will of the Lord is you have stopped measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. You used to. That used to be a consuming measurement, but not anymore. Who are the ones who will submit to God's will? The weak ones, the ones who are void of self-confidence. Now it is replaced by the Lord's confidence, because sincerely, every time you say, if the Lord will, that means the Lord is the one that will be holding your hand. The Lord is the one who is guiding you. It is not my strength plus the Lord's strength. It is my weakness and the Lord's strength will take over. So the weak ones, the ones who know that without the Lord, they can do nothing, they are the ones who will submit to God's will. The righteous ones, the ones who will always do what is right, they will continue to do what is right for the glory of the Lord according to scriptures. And they are the ones who will keep on studying the Bible because they know that whatever that I do according to the scriptures will guarantee to be right. That's why it is a righteousness that is according to scriptures. These are the ones who will submit to God's will. Grateful ones, the ones who truly will never forget how great a price the Lord Jesus Christ had to pay to save him. They are eternally grateful to the Lord. And when they are grateful to the Lord, you can rest assured they will not do their own thing. They will not have their own agenda. They will continually say, if the Lord will. The Lord has redeemed my life. My life belongs to him. He owns me. And therefore, how dare I do what I want? This life is his. I am living for him. I will be his mouth speaking his words. I will be his hands doing his deed. I can't do my deed and call myself a Christian. That would be shameful. That would be the worst kind of ingrate I would become. Call myself a believer and then do what I want. Then what is the significance and meaning of being crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live, I live for Christ. What does that mean? That is meaningless if I continue to do what I want. And therefore, a grateful one, a grateful person will be someone who will honestly say, if the Lord will. He is also a dependent one. He will keep on depending upon the Lord. The allegory of what Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, is something that he will never forget. Without me, the Lord says, we can do nothing. And so he will always be dependent, because the dependent one is a person who prays without ceasing. Isn't that true? That means basically you're saying to the Lord, I can't do anything without first asking you, without first praying to you. That's a dependent one. These are the ones who will submit to God's will. Weak ones, no self-confidence, God confidence. Righteous ones, keep on studying the Bible to do what is right. Grateful ones, never forget the sacrificial work of Christ on the cross for him. Dependent ones, they know that without Christ, they can do nothing. And these are the ones who will truly submit to God's will and sincerely say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, I will live. And if I am living, I know it is the Lord's will for me this day. And so if we live through tonight, and when tomorrow comes, first thing you say when you wake up, if the Lord will. Well, it is the Lord's will to see you through the night. It is the Lord's will now to give you another day. How would you plan to spend it? Seek the Lord. As a student, study hard. As a child of your parents, honor them. Pray for them. Never dishonor them. Never talk back to them. Answer them humbly, simply. The older you get, the more you will struggle. 5-year-old, 6-year-old, very nice, very quick to obey. As you grow older and older, when you are in your teenage years, you know, they talk about generation gap. Don't ever listen to the lie of the devil. This generation gap between the teenager and the parents is a concoction of the God of this world. If your parents are Christians, you are Christians, there is no generation gap. How do we know that? Think carefully. Your parents have the mind of Christ. They have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So have you. They want to obey the Bible. You want to obey the Bible. What gap are we talking about? The only gap is the age gap. Your desire to promote Christ, your parents desire to promote Christ. You want to exalt Christ, your parents want to exalt Christ. All in the home wants to obey the Bible. Where is the gap? There is no gap. That is only Christ. If the Lord will, and it is the Lord's will for you to go through tonight and tomorrow, if you're a student, it's the Lord's will as a student. If you're an employer, employee, it is the Lord's will for you to be an employer, employee, and so be the best godly, holy employer, employee for tomorrow. So what about the next day after tomorrow? Well, don't worry about the next day after tomorrow. See whether the Lord will give you that day. The first thing you do tomorrow morning, dear friend, wake up. What is the first thing? If the Lord will. Well, it is the Lord's will for you to be alive. Now the next question is, what should I do? Do this or do that? Right? That's the last part of verse 15. Seek the Lord. What phase of your life are you at? If you are a parent with young children, study the scriptures, how to be a godly father and a godly mother to the children, and train them up in the way of the Lord together as a team, prayerfully, united, one heart, one mind. Search the scriptures. Don't have all these kind of conflict. The conflicts are removed when both of you study the scriptures concerning how to bring a child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And the Lord will help you to do this and to do that just for tomorrow. And at the end of tomorrow, before you lay down to sleep, you reflect back on the day and you thank God that it's no longer if the Lord will, the Lord has willed. At the end of the day, you look back, the Lord has willed, and how you have lived for Him, how you have stopped planning and living and being a carnal person. Now you become a righteous, grateful, dependent Christian, one who is truly born again, living for Christ. What a wonderful and abundant life that you have. And when you stand before the Lord one day, when your life of service on earth is over, when the Lord returns, He will be so happy to embrace you. And as He embraced you, He will whisper into your ears, thankfully, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have spoken my word well for me. Thank you. You have done the deeds faithfully for me. Thank you. And you have gone to places where I would have gone for me. Well done. You know how wonderful it is that this life that once upon a time served sin, but now washed by the blood of Christ, we can serve the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What a tremendous blessing. But it is not automatic. We have to always remember, if the Lord will. Don't ignore God's will. Would you stop and listen to your Heavenly Father speaking to you tonight by accepting God's will and then submitting yourself to it? Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, for the many times, for the many moments and many years since the day we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. We have been wayward. We have been doing our own thing, for we have ignored Thy holy will because of carnality, because we were ignorant and we were filled with self-confidence. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercies and Thy patience and long-suffering in dealing with us. For You could have removed us from this earth, but in Thy mercy, You have not. We thank Thee, O Lord, tonight. Your people have heard Thy call to stop what we are doing, stop ignoring Thy holy will, and to listen and to put into our mind that this life is short and it is not in our hands, for we don't even know what happens tomorrow. And therefore, how could we think without first acknowledging and accepting Thy will in our lives as Thy blood-bought children? And not only must we accept Thy will, teach us to submit to Thy will as weak ones, dependent ones, grateful ones, and righteous ones as well, to live only for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that wherever we go, by our good works, they will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. And what a wonderful life that you have given to us. Teach us, therefore, to live day by day. And if the Lord wills, we will go through tonight and we will begin a new day tomorrow. If the Lord will, we shall do this and we shall do that for His glory. Teach us, therefore, to be still and to know that Thou art God. Grant us all a good night rest and dismiss us with the blessings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.